Hi, and welcome to our Live from America podcast. This is Hatem alongside Noam Dorman, the owner of the cheerful Noam Dorman, the owner of the legendary Comedy Cellar. Here you go.
It's Valentine's Day, so it's a time of year. It's a day of the year that I always have a fight with my wife. So.
And very special episode today for Valentine's Day for all the, whatever you kind of call yourself outside out there, lovers or relationships.
Episode is with a P, episode, right?
Do you have like a feedback or something? Because I said that 5 minutes ago.
It's a good thing you don't have an allergy or something when you have to get an EpiPen, because they would know what the hell you're talking about. EpiPen,
That is the funniest thing you said in a long
Oh, thanks. What
time.
are you talking about?
That's funny. Speaking of funny, we have the two of the funniest comedians out there, Kit Herman and Esther Koo. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Hi,
Thank you for being
Hatem. Hi,
here.
Noam. How you guys
Hi,
doing?
hi,
Thank you guys for
hi.
being here in Valentine's Day morning. So you can do your night, whatever you want to do. But thank you for being here. And our guest of honor is Sari Cooper. Sari, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Sari is like a regular in our show. She's a sex coach and therapist, and she's the creator and host of Sex Esteem. And she's the founder and CEO of Center of Love and Sex, or Sex and Love. I don't know which one first comes
Love
first.
and sex.
Love and sex,
Yeah.
yes. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great being back here.
Thank you. So Valentine's Day, big plans, anybody? Noam?
I just hope the delivery shows up on time, and and I gotta stay out of trouble. It's ridiculous. It's a sexist holiday.
It is. Oh, that's a great point. It is a sexist holiday.
Enough of this shit.
Yeah, serious. Oh, and
In
by the
what
way,
ways is
sorry,
sexist?
to speak
Is it
about
girls
sex and all
different?
that, I got the three most pervert people that I know in this show. So you can, does it get any worse than that? Esther and Kate and Noam,
you
like it's.
know, you misheard Hatem. I thought you said sexiest.
Oh, no,
Oh.
sex is at me.
No,
No,
it's
I thought
sexist
you said
because.
sexiest holiday.
Because it's the day that we're supposed to pay homage to our wives, and there's no husband day. It's basically wives and girlfriends day.
Every day is husband day.
Yeah,
I dated a guy who was way more into, I'm not into Valentine's Day, and he was, and I had to go and find a present and do nice things for a day. Valentine's Day is the best day to break up.
No, I
You want
break
to
up.
just break up with him, like whatever he gets you, you're like, this is not good enough. See you
Yeah,
later.
I usually break up. Like, I have times where I start my relationship and when I end the relationship, and I end it before the Valentine's Day usually. After New Year's Eve, there's a couple of months that you can break up. So, Sari, has it been how has it been going for your business during this COVID times? It's slow. Is it busy? Is it people get
We
crazy?
are exploding. I think there are a lot of, first of all, if you're a couple and you're living together, it's a lot. There's not a lot of space. There's not a lot of separation. You're on top of each other all the time. It's hard to think sexy thoughts when, your partner's bugging you to do some sort of household task. So we are so busy. And then dating?
Yeah.
Dating sucks. My bank account is showing how it sucks that we can't go on dinner dates.
I
Like, it
mean,
was my
for the
whole
first time in a
savings.
long time, you're paying for your own meals.
For 365 fucking days, no. I can't believe it.
That's hilarious. I think it's a great time to date because there's nothing you can, hey, Dunkin' Donuts, that's our only choice. And to eat and to go. Not even to stay. And the curfew is at 10 o'clock. It's perfect time to date.
It's not really like I'm eating on a dinner date. I want my martinis and
Yeah, I mean, we're in an age of equity, right? I mean, literally, hot chicks should get less government assistance because they really don't have to pay for food and drink. Is that?
No, not right now, Noam. You're missing it.
I'm saying, but in general, when things get back to normal, I think you should get less money than a man.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good point. I say, I have something
Equity.
to say.
Well,
Yeah.
I don't get to keep the receipts
Well,
as
you
a
know what?
tax
Hot
write-off.
chicks, it's harder for hot chicks to get hired for jobs because
like Tony Robbins is like, oh, well, you should hire a fat, ugly chick because it's less distracting. You know, you're not tempted to fuck her, right? So I think we should get more money, actually, because we're more unemployed
than
other girls.
Yeah, but I think Tony Robbins was kind of being a little too cute there because he was tempted to fuck the fat chicks too, right? I mean,
I mean, eventually, like, work is like, you know, in jail. Like, after a while, everybody look cute around you. It's just like, you know what? Fuck it. You know. So, Sari, how's people like been together through all this time? I believe this Valentine's we should celebrate differently. We should be, you know, we should be separate. You know, not together. How you convince people to like still have like all that steam after a year and more of lockdown, all this shit?
You know, I tell people you can go places in your imagination. And I think people don't use their creativity and imagination as much as they could in the sex department, in the erotic department, because the erotic is really in your mind. And so I tell people, like, you have actually like a little more time than usual. You're not commuting. And, you know, if you're working from home, like, set some scenes up that you've never done before. Start talking about things, fantasies that you never actually have done before. So I actually think it's a great sex holiday. I mean,
can you say to your girlfriend, please don't talk. I'm trying to pretend you're someone else.
I mean, that, but you could say, hey, I'm going to get you an outfit and I want you to dress up and I want you to pretend that you're this person.
See, what I would say sometimes, like, you know, I miss phone sex. Can you leave and call me from somewhere?
You know, I tell people to do that. I tell people to text each other. Like, I mean, and people who are dating, like, video sex is a thing, you guys. It's like,
I'm so bad at texting. I just end up sounding like Jodi Arias.
So I don't know,
Kate and Esther, what's
your situation? I don't know if you're dating or not, but how has things been going for you in that department?
My girlfriend texted me, I'm coming harder than I've ever come before, but she spelled it T-H-E-N and I lost my erection.
Oh, look at you. You're
that's
ready.
That's Jewish guys for you. That's why I like Jewish guys.
Same. I'm in for an Ashkenazi.
It takes brains to turn them on. things are fine over here. Yes. Yeah. I have my birthday next week also. So this is a killer week for whoever's my boyfriend.
So did you date during this time or were you dating before this whole thing happened?
No.
Oh, okay. So it's not that hard.
You used to have a boyfriend. What happened to your boyfriend?
I have a boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
So why are you lying?
She's not dating. She's like with somebody, I guess that's what she means.
Yes, I'm like long-term dating. But I stopped having FaceTime sex with him because, you know, the police can watch your FaceTime sex.
Can they make it hotter?
Yeah.
No, fuck the police. So they, you know how I figured that out? That girl who died from Glee?
Yeah.
She FaceTimed somebody right before she drowned. Yeah. And the police said they watched that FaceTime to see, like, if she was talking to anybody who wanted to kill her.
But you make it sound like they watch it all the time. They watch it if they need to.
I'm sure they watch it.
Is this a QAnon theory?
No.
What about you?
They can't watch your FaceTime. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. What about you, Kate?
You're bringing up a good topic, Esther, because some people do like to watch.
Yeah. There's a girl that lives across the street from me who definitely has an OnlyFans page and she walks around naked all the time. And so my like guy friends come over and just stare out of the window. But then one day we were walking down the street and I saw that you could see her from the street. So I'm going to start a racket. I'm just going to charge people $5 and say, look up.
Oh, what do you think? Oh, this is a new thing. It's not new, but I guess relatively new. The OnlyFans and stuff like that. What do you stand on this, Sari?
I want to hear about the woman across the street.
Oh, I'm going to see the woman across the street. I'm going to Kate after this.
I know. But so did you, were you like fascinated? Where are you like, go, you know, is it like 7 o'clock when all the pots and pans used to ring?
Yeah, right. for Jerry and James, it is. For the guys, it is. For me, I'm like, oh, that's like, that just reminds me to pull down my blinds every time I get out of the shower.
I think it's like.
She likes it. You can tell, though. She's definitely like into the voyeurism stuff, which is like great.
It's probably the only live theater going on in New York.
Right?
So another thing is like about people that start dating though, not together or whatever. How do you have safe sex like during this time? You know, like, you know, what's funny is I looked
at
the
kiss.
Nothing. But I looked at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. Like, this is what they actually say, and I think it's hilarious. They say, you know, for safe sex is like the best partner you have is you. Masturbate. That's what they actually say.
I learned that too when MTV came to my college, the Real World came to my school, and they were like, "Here's the best safe sex you can have. Just do mutual masturbation."
Yeah, it's a
thing. I'm such a dork. I was like, oh my God, I'm into it.
You know, there's a thing called hand sex.
What's that?
One of my friends had a guy over and he was like, "I don't want to have sex with you because I have a lot of respect for you, but like, I'm going to like, I want to get off." And she was like, "Do you want to like go to the bathroom?" And then he didn't. He did it right in front of her and came in his hand and then carried it to the bathroom. Delicately.
So she did. So she said, "I have a lot of respect for you, so I don't want to have sex."
Yeah, and then he jizzed on her couch instead. I thought it was crazy.
That's a lot of respect.
I find that to be disrespectful.
I said, "No, that's weird." And she was like, "Is it weird?"
Well, you can only come on a couch if you have plastic covers. Everybody knows that.
But it wasn't consensual. Did he ask?
It was all very. There was a lot of talking. I would have been like, "Go away."
So yes, how do you have safe sex during this time? And
I think that it's the same as any other time, right? Like you get tested and then you know.
I actually think it's an interesting time because it's bringing us back to the bad old days or the hard old days of AIDS. And you know, they came up with the term safe sex around AIDS, but then they changed it to safer sex because they figured like people are still having sex. Like you can't shame people for having sex. And I think that there's some of that going on right now. So you want to just tell people like, let's talk through all the different stages of safer and safer and safer and less safe and less safe and less safe. And those are self-determined decisions, but let's talk them through because people are out there having sex this summer. Like people were having sex.
My friend was going on dates with doctors. I was like, don't go out with doctors. They might have COVID.
Oh no. Listen to this shit. I was having sex with a dude for a little while during COVID, you know, pick one and stick. And then he wouldn't go inside places when indoor dining started the first time around, refused to go inside because of COVID. But then turns out he like slept with somebody else. And I was like, you wouldn't go inside of a bar, but you inside of somebody else. It's amazing to me.
What about that did you not understand, Kate? Because I think that's pretty, I mean, that's
because if you're really that afraid of COVID, then why aren't you afraid of COVID plus all of the venereal disease?
Maybe he didn't want to go.
Because a man is not thinking clearly when he has a stiff dick. That's.
Maybe he didn't want to go into that restaurant because she was there. Have you thought of that? Not
there
because
was any of them.
But she works there.
Yeah.
If she worked there, I wouldn't be going anymore.
But it's a great place to start talking because you can start talking ahead of time about negotiation about what you're willing to do.
You
can
talk about how you're
going to
quarantine the next pandemic. Like if your levels of paranoia match up. I think that's important.
Can I just circle back? So does the New York State website really have a page dedicated to teaching people about masturbation?
Yes.
This is so fucking infuriating to me because, okay, I just had a bad week. And first of all, I've been trying to get in touch with the unemployment office. I called maybe 30 times in the last week. Every single time you have to sit through seven minutes of recordings before they disconnect you, tell you that there's no operators right now, call back later. So, you know, you spend your whole fucking day. And it's ironic because, you know, all these people are out of work. You'd think they could just hire the people who are out of work who, you know, can't get benefit and say, well, we need extra people to answer the phones, right? No. So I think, well, you know, I'm a pretty privileged person. How does somebody who really like can't spend this time all day, how do they do it? And then I have friends who need the vaccine. I don't know if I should say this out loud. So I have a friend. He's a 60 or 59 year old. Not that all these things matter. Some of them don't, but I'm just going to say it because these things seem to count in this day. He's a 69-year-old, overweight, gay, black, blind man with HIV. Now, this is a bad, this is a high risk fellow, right? He cannot get an appointment for the vaccine. He cannot get it. He's blind. There's no one there to help him. Even if you're not blind, it's hard enough to get a vaccine. But what is this? Where's our tax dollar going to? Teaching people how to fucking masturbate. Like, can they take the people off the masturbation thing for a few weeks and put them on helping to try to sign people up for the vaccine? So I wrote a script. Anybody can do it. Macro Express is a program. You can download a 30-day free version of it. And you can record a script to try for vaccine appointments over and over and over and over. So you don't have to sit there. And when it goes through, you can program it to make a noise and then you can come fill out the form. So I've been able to get vaccine appointments for a lot of people in my life who are high risk or work with me, older people, employees and stuff like that. But without me doing that, not a single one of them would have an appointment for the vaccine.
There's a new bot thing out there.
What about the elderly? They barely make a Zoom call.
There's some nonprofits now. People are volunteering to help their neighbors who are elderly can't manage.
The fucking state of New York, we spend so much money. And what do they spend that money on? This masturbation thing is only one. You can find a million examples. Just look around of all the dumb things they're doing. The meetings to change the names of schools, to research whether who owned slaves and who didn't, so we can make sure we don't have any building name or street name after the war. I mean, they spend millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars to try to do bullshit. And now we have people dying and elderly people and blind people can't get a vaccine and people can't get through to the unemployment office. And nothing moves. And Cuomo the Great is, hiding the people dying in the old age. It is enough to make me want to go storm the Capitol.
You know what's funny?
This is really how is. We have every reason to be fucking fed up in this country. It's ridiculous.
Two things I want to say quickly. First, this is how you know Noam is rich, because you just dealt with this situation right now. We've been dealing with this since March. Can you imagine when I was in the hospital trying to apply and they told me putting me in hold and I can't stay? Like, it took me like four months to get.
Yes, but you're Egyptian.
And the other thing is, like, I wrote, because he said it quickly, but I wrote a script that, make you go through the machine. That's a great get late story. Like, I'm going to use that story later. It's like, to get all the people in my life vaccinated, I had to do this. Such an unselfish guy. It's great. I think it's a great story. I'm saying this is a get late story.
Some people are doing, you just show up 20 minutes before a vaccination site closes. And they're, some people don't show up. There's cancellations and they have six vaccines in a vial. So if they open one and they have to throw some away. So just show up and say, hey, shoot my arm if you have to throw any away.
That's great.
I heard people walk that way, but that's
great if you're young and can do it. What I'm saying is that the people, the elderly, they need help.
With the masturbation stuff too, though?
No, we don't need people. The government does not need to be manning the masturbation education hotlines for us, okay? They need to be taken care. Once they have taken care of all the essential things they need to take care of properly, really well, so that people who need help, who can't help themselves, can get help without having to, go through tremendous hurdles that they actually can't.
Well, I think it's simple, then and only then
should the government be looking out into the universe. I think it's simple. What else can we do now?
Does somebody have a job?
I think there's people at home who don't know how to masturbate.
Each person have a job, and the person that
we have a repressed society. No, some people don't know how to masturbate.
True. So,
didn't you see Borat?
Yeah,
back to the old people to die.
Back to sex, Sarah. So a lot of people define sex, oh, no sex.
I'm sorry, Hatem, you didn't realize I was doing something so Republicans can masturbate. you didn't understand what was going on.
You brought up the New York City Department of Health, and what was great about the posting, it's one page, it's not a whole site. It's just one page. And basically they also said, get a little kinky. And, bring out, use some sex toys.
This is so good. Go ahead.
What should people know?
Would you rather have people doing sex safer?
I would rather that the nonprofits take care of the masturbation and the government take care of helping people with their vaccines. That's what I would rather.
So Sari, what about like, okay, so try, you know, masturbate, do this, but what about people who've been in a relationship for a long time and they stuck together for in the house forever? Thank God I'm not one of them, you know, and then they still have to pretend that they, you know, want to have sex. Like, do they need a masturbation class or they need acting classes?
I think they need like improv classes.
Yeah,
actually, you guys are experts at this because improv allows you to kind of go someplace, set up a scene, do something crazy. Think people want novelty. The reason why sex kind of goes down and desire goes down over long periods of time is that people just think they know one another and it gets like same old sexual script. And what you really have to do is bring in some more creativity and imagination. Some sex toys might help. That's and right. By the way, you can, there are these great sex toys that are used using Bluetooth. It's called DigiSex. I mean, it's been out there in the market for a while, but it's perfect.
But the problem with role-playing is if you have a dumb boyfriend and he wants to like be somebody that nobody wants to fuck, like a plumber, you know, then like it doesn't get anywhere. I'm like, I don't want to.
No, and sometimes also females don't want to go play the same scenario. You know, they'd be like, oh, this is weird. I was like, I always want to play like a Taliban checkpoint. And she's like, you know.
Gotta do a pat down.
Yeah, they do a pat down pretty well.
Are these DigiSex toys invented in Asia by any chance?
That's a good question. No, there are some that are. No, there's some that are made here in the US of A. And, you know, what you can do is like set, you know, control on your iPhone, you know, what the actual vibrations are that your partner has in another location or another room even. And they're for men or women, mostly for women, I would say. But
you know what turns me on, and it never happens, it'll be novel, when my wife makes me dinner from time to time.
Is she watching?
No. Are you crazy? She's upstairs masturbating. No, listen. Yeah, it fell flat, but I'm actually serious. To be honest, it's very primitive. When you make your mate something to eat, when you do something for them, that really does stir up affection and actual, I think, sexual feeling in a very organic way, which is, I think, different than the contrived way of role playing or whatever it is. Kindness to each other, I think, is very sexy.
Well, there's like those love languages, right? Like, wouldn't that fall under like?
Yeah,
but here's the thing.
You're also talking about intimacy and romance, Noam.
Romance? Yeah. Do you know Noam?
But I'm just saying, like, one of the things that happens when you're dating is that you go out of the way to figure out how to do things for each other.
Yes.
And that's something that stops once you get married, or stops even at some point when you're dating. And I have noticed that from time to time, you know, when somebody does make me a really good meal, I'm not proud of this, ladies. I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest. I'm just sharing, whether it's sexist or whatever it is that's going on in my fucked up head. I'm just saying that's when you're the recipient of that sort of thing, it does bring something back to you.
That's why you always go in the olive tree in the kitchen in the back and like.
Why are you interrupting the guests? Come on, go ahead, Sari.
I was going to say, like, I don't think that's gendered. I remember when I was dating this guy who was like Italian American, and he was like making me risotto, and I was like, "Bring it on! Are you kidding me? Like, I am like so turned on. Risotto, homemade, like."
So I don't think it's gendered either. I don't think it's gendered either. I don't at all.
I think that's like, though, like you, like that's what makes you feel like loved or like intimate or whatever. Like, I took that quiz. It took forever. And it turns out that the only thing I care about is physical touch. It's like an 11. And then like the next highest one was like words of affirmation. And then everything else was like, you don't care. Like, somebody buys me a present and I'm like, thank you.
So, you know, I'm glad you brought up the love languages, because what I do is I talk about erotic triggers, because a lot of people talk about triggers as like this negative thing if you've had trauma or whatever. So I've turned it on its head and I've created like 7 erotic triggers, and I ask people to think about their top 3. So 5 of them are your senses, and 2 of them I divide up into psychological and emotional. And emotional is like, no, I'm like, cook me a meal, make me feel special, do something out of the ordinary, romance, intimacy. And then the other one is psychological, which I talk about as kind of power exchange. Like, you know, so many women talk in my office, talk about like, will he just take charge? I just don't want to be in charge here. That is my fantasy. Like, he runs it. He pushes me up against the wall after I tell him he's okay. And like takes control of the action. So I think, you know, you have to talk to your partner to know what their top 3 are. Don't assume.
Gary, did you just tell a fib there? After I tell him he's okay, is that really part of what they say?
I
really wish he would just ask my permission and then take charge. If you don't know each other, of course, I'm not advocating anything, you know, but I'm saying like, when you do know each other, I think that's probably not.
You know, I actually think it's helpful because you know, I was a dancer in my first life. And I always sort of say, you know, you wake up with the body that you woke up with that morning, because if you could do 3 pirouettes one day, you can't do it, you know, the same the next day. And you don't know if someone's in that space to do the same kind of sex. So talking about it is sexy in and
of itself. But you'll know in less than a millisecond. You'll know, you know. I don't know.
It could fall flat, right? You could push your partner up against the wall and say, I thought you wanted me to direct it.
Yeah, but I'm saying but I'm saying if you have a healthy relationship and you know that this is part of the thing that, you know, she enjoys, then she's not gonna consider it an assault. She's gonna be like, get off of me.
No, that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. So what's the most problems that you deal with, like from your sessions, you know, for a couple therapy and stuff like that? What's the number one problem that people say?
Right. So for couples, it's what we call discrepant desire, where one partner wants either more frequent sex than the other one, or they want a different type of sex that the other one wants and they can't even talk about it.
Is it usually the girls who want more sex or the guys?
You know what? I would say more guys, but a lot of women come in and they feel embarrassed that they're the higher desire partner because they feel like they don't want to emasculate the guy. And so they're sort of
I love emasculating guys. What's wrong with these women?
The guys have a harder time with that, getting hard, if you will. But
now here's an interesting question. And see, this is because Esther made me think of it. So how much of it is always the same cause, meaning that sometimes a guy may want more sex because he's very, very horny, right? But is it possible that sometimes the girl wants more sex because she feels unattractive because the guy's not interested in her? Like, is that?
Because he's doing too much coke. He has coke.
No, I think so. I mean, listen, women have a hard time in this society because there's so much body shame and hatred. It's hard for them to like live up to some sort of ideal that we see on, you know, movies and any sort of media that where you consume media. So there's that. But I think part of it is also like, you know, they haven't told their partner what they want.
Is there,
and that's whether you're gay or queer or whatever.
Does porn have like an impact in any of this? Like with, you know, guys or girls seeing something and being like, oh, that's like what we should be doing? Or is that, does that phase out as like you get older? I don't know.
You know, there's been so much written about porn addiction. I just wrote a blog about that actually, and it's really not a term that I use. I think it's misinformation and miseducation. And if you go on porn from the age of 13, which most young people are doing now, they think like that's real sex, and that's just a makeup fantasy entertainment. And so they think, oh, well, this is what women like because they're screaming within 1 minute of penetration. So yeah, it's really bad education, to be honest.
So we spoke before about introducing toys to the relationship. What about introducing a third person to the relationship?
So that's another thing we talk about in sex therapy, because people come in to navigate a non-monogamous relationship after they've been consensually monogamous for a while. I think if people have really good communication skills and they've kind of really sort of done the work of making clear boundaries, I think that can work. I think it gets much more dicey when someone's already gone outside of the agreement and there's been infidelity, and then they want to walk it back and go, okay, can we do non-monogamy now? It's harder. There's more, repair that needs to be done, and in terms of building up the trust.
But what about once in a while? Not like, okay, we have to do this all the time or this all the time. Just once in a while, you know?
Yeah. I've had couples who do that, and they've negotiated in it, and they have certain boundaries. They both have to meet the person. They both have to trust the person. They go out for dates with the person before they.
Really? Oh, that's, it's not how it's done in my book.
tell us.
I think it just happened. What about you, Esther? Would you get another female or male into your, and be okay with it?
You know, I haven't really done that, but the other night there were four lesbians at my show who invited me out after the show. And it was just so far away. I almost went, but I was like, it's 8 miles away.
Yeah. 8 miles is your limit. So seven and a half.
No, we should have just stayed at the bar that we were already at. Why do we gotta like make it complicated? I don't know where you guys are.
I know, next time when I make plans with you, it's like, hey, Esther, I live 1 mile away.
Huh? she texted me. She goes, rude. I go, we should have just stayed where we were.
But you don't think that it would ruin your relationship if you have a threesome with another person? Or you'll be okay with it?
I don't know. I think at the beginning I was more open to it, but now that like it's more serious.
Yeah.
Like I feel like he missed the boat. We should have done that in the first 6 months.
I'm insanely like territorial and jealous. Like I like know that I just like can't handle it.
We can
like,
tell I'm by your eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, nah, it's me. Like I have to be the star. Like I can't. But on 90 Day Fiance, now there's a guy who has a girl from the Philippines and she wants a girlfriend really badly. So like she wants it to be kind of like a throuple thing. And I'm getting to the point now in the season where I think she's actually just a lesbian and getting a green card. But it is interesting to watch them like
they're everywhere, these lesbians who need green cards.
Well, even in the Philippines, she can't be gay there. So like she comes to America and now she can like have this relationship with a girl. But even still in that, she's still like me, because one time they had another girlfriend and then he got too close to her. And so she freaked out and like kicked her out.
I have a question for Sari. What do you think about Gnome's dick sculpture?
Oh my God. I was going to ask you like, is this okay to decorate my living room this way? Because I I don't know.
You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
You know, does anybody know what this is from? Young kids? This is a very famous living room.
Peter Mac.
Da Vinci.
Does that give you a hint? Oh my God, you guys, what are you, children?
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange, that's right. That's probably right. All right. Anyway, that, okay.
But you know what? You're bringing up an interesting point in that people don't always identify as an identity what they're doing in terms of sexuality. And that's not to mean they're denying it. They just don't want to label it. So they may have, you know, that's why actually since I'm going to bring AIDS back, but that's why people who do research talk about men who have sex with men, MSM, because there are a lot of men who either identify within themselves as bi or they don't identify as anything. Maybe they identify as straight and they're just having sex with men.
They identify as male comics.
So, you know, I think people are really want labels. They do. People are uncomfortable with behavior that doesn't have
a label. I definitely want brand name label like Chocolate Tomorrow, like Godiva.
But I want to ask you something to Noam's point, what he did. How much of the atmosphere also put you in a mood? You know, the smell, the walls, the background. I mean, from Kate and Esther's background, I can see nothing has happened in that household. Kate has a wire behind.
I have a fireplace. What are you talking about? A wood burning fireplace.
You have, yeah. What is that behind you? I voted thing and the wire.
excuse me. Hold on. My daughter's here. Hold on. Mila, go upstairs. Go upstairs. Go upstairs. Enjoy your time without estrogen. Go.
So, Sari, how much of building the atmosphere, music, smell, decoration works for that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying those five senses are so important. And, you know, you were saying like touch for you is like top of the list, okay. Right? I mean, I've had people say to me, like, smell is so important. For a gay woman, like if my partner comes back from a run and she's all sweaty, like I cannot stand getting sexy with her. Like it's such a turnoff. Whereas the other one is like, I love this. This is great. I love this smell. Yeah. Right. So some people like are born or wired with like very, very sensitive smells. And so if their partner drinks too much and they smell of alcohol, that's like a turnoff. I mean, these are things that are important.
I have a question. Sorry. Do you find Jewish men to be better listeners than non-Jewish men?
Huh? Yes, I can answer this. Yes, because they want to use the money that they paid. They want to use every penny.
You know, because I used to work in a dentist office in the city, and like I see these guys, they're just these older married Jewish guys. They're just beaten down by their wives, and I'm like, I think they make better partners than like somebody who's like puts up a fight constantly.
You know, it depends what your thing is.
Sorry, you know why Jewish men like to watch porno backwards, don't you?
Why?
Because they like to see the prostitute give the money back.
So only you could make that joke.
Oh, you can make it. Go ahead.
We all can make it.
We're living in a time when anybody can say anything. Go ahead.
Right? No cancel culture.
I always thought that it was because like Judaism is a matriarchal society. So like there's a different kind of like respect for women and what?
There is actually. I mean, women are sort of the holders of the home and the keepers of the family, and there is a lot of respect.
How'd you say that? It's
depending on the subculture.
Let's be honest. My people don't have the best Me Too record out there. So I don't know exactly.
Thank you. Because it's like, how is that true with Jewish and the same thing with Muslim? And they say, oh, they're not as, respected, which is the opposite. They are.
But, you know, there's also the thing about like the oldest son in a Jewish family. Noam, what do they call? Are you the oldest son, by the way?
I'm the and the youngest. I'm the only one.
Oh, okay. So yeah. What do they call the son?
I don't know.
Seriously?
I really don't know. The prince. The prince? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They called me the princess when I was growing up.
No wonder.
How does that make you feel, Noam?
Like a lady.
So Sari, another thing, we have like two performers right here, Kate and Esther. Doesn't that make them like hotter for guys, like when they watch them being on a stage and all the lights and stuff like that? But isn't that intimidating in the relationship after that? Especially if they like regular people.
You know, it depends. Some people get off on that, you know, and it's for them, it's like, you know, something to sort of achieve, if you will, if they can, you know, win somebody, not like you're an object, but you know what I mean? It's like a mission.
Yeah.
And some people really, really get off on, you know, the chase. And I mean, that's a kind of a typical trope, but it's true. And there are some people who once they sort of win over the heart of this person, they're not as interested anymore because there's no challenge. I mean, heart, is that your experience? Vagina. Have you had have you had that experience with people who've dated you?
Yeah, for sure. Look. No, I mean, my boyfriend, I met him at a comedy show.
All right. Mm. Is he a comedian or no?
No, he's a perennial audience member.
Oh, okay.
No, you know? I like.
And what was his pickup line? Oh, Esther, you're so funny.
No, well, I made fun of him. So he was like, fuck you. I was like, all right, challenge accepted.
What about you, Kate? You said something.
I mean, my problem is like, okay, I love sports. I'm like down to pretty much like do whatever. Like I'm pretty good, like solid catch, I think. The problem is that I have like an unfiltered mouth and I will like, my thumbs work so fast and I will just like blow up and burn down and then go back and make sure the horse is dead before it gets anywhere. You know what I mean? Like I'm very good at like offending somebody or like not being sensitive enough because like I don't know you. You know what I mean? Like all that shit. But also like it's because that's what I do. I talk. So I don't know.
So you don't think people take that on as a challenge?
I mean, it could be a challenge or I just like I said, like I fucking Jodi Arias like myself and just like make myself seem too like out there.
Are you saying you're unlucky in love, Kate? Is that what you're is that what I'm
yes
hearing?
No, maybe I am. I don't think it's unlucky. I think I'm unskilled.
Do you have like a fantasy to like kill men?
No, that's the thing. It's like I'm so squeamish. I could never. I can't even like kill a spider. But like, you know, I just think that there's like
I get more Casey Anthony vibes from you.
Oh, well, I never want a kid, so I guess if that happened, that makes sense. But like, I've done it before, like 5 months into the.
I think Kate's thing is like she's a big gambler. She likes to gamble everything, even relationship. It's like $10 not gonna work.
Well, that's the thing. I've lost like 3 bets now with my friends, based on if a guy will call me back.
Yeah.
Mhm.
And they don't. And they haven't called you back.
Yeah, they get like I say the wrong thing at like 11:30 at night.
Like, okay, give us an example. What could you say that would offend a guy?
Well, like one guy, he blew me off for like the third time. He kept saying I like told him, I was like, cause he would be like, oh, I'll come down, like we'll watch football. Like I'll come down, we'll go to dinner. You know what I mean? Something like that. And this is like a few months ago. And so there's nothing happening. I get excited to see one new person in my whole life because I see the same fucking 4 people every day. And so the third time it happened, it was like 11:30 the night before. And he said he had a funeral, which is like, what am I gonna do now? Like, you can't get mad because it's a funeral. But also, I said specifically, stop fucking making plans with me because I don't want to be disappointed. So when it was a funeral, I was stuck in that position where it's like, I can't get mad even though I have a right to be. And so eventually, I got drunk enough and I said, look, I'm not a little bitch. You got to stop doing this shit. And he
said, if he can't invite you to a funeral, he's not the one for you.
What else?
There's free food at a funeral. It's nice.
Wait, so you shit.
You said, I'm not a little, you got drunk and you said, I'm not a little bitch.
Yeah.
And you're sure that that was what offended him rather than the whole drunken episode?
Instead of what?
The entire drunken episode might have.
There wasn't an episode. Everything was fine. I sent one text that said, look, I get it. Like, you have a funeral, but I'm not a little bitch. And I asked you to stop doing this. And, like, it's not cool. And he just said, wow, Kate, that's wildly insensitive. Take care.
Oh, wow. Let him go fuck himself. That sounds really wimpy to me.
Well, no, but then I spiraled because I hate losing. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And, like, sent a hostage video. Big mistake. My God, I went insane. I am, like, not.
Maybe there was a funeral.
There was a funeral. He screenshot me the thing as if he needed to prove it. And I said, it doesn't matter. You know about
a funeral. Hold on. What thing did he screenshot you? What thing?
He sent me like the screenshot of the person like at this place. I was like, okay.
Okay, let's go through this. First of all,
I should have shown up at the funeral. That's it.
Kate, first of all, you were wrong. If he had a funeral, somebody dropped dead, that supersedes everything. Just so you know.
Of course. Of course.
So you were wrong for, on the other hand, I don't understand. I almost, like, you're a hot girl and you're down to have a good time and like you're good company. And like, what the fuck? So you said something like he just dropped you because you got drunk and said something a little harsh. But right? you're so lucky to be rid of that guy.
I know, but now I'm like, you know, I don't do the dating app things and stuff. So it's hard to find somebody to even like fuck with, you know, on text or whatever.
But you know, the thing about text is that there's no tone. So they're not really knowing if you're joking or not.
Yeah.
If you
I'm not a little bitch comes through.
Well, she could have meant it in a kinky way, Noam. We don't know.
Yeah, but, no, I will say this. You know, and I think we all know this is true, that the reasons that we say are we broke up or whatever it is, they're really just rational relations. In the end, either you, if you're really into somebody, it doesn't matter what they do, you'll find an excuse to stay with them. I mean, I've seen this over, and if you're not really feeling it, then you'll jump on the excuse, oh, she called me or she said blah, 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 and I had another. So I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse, but I mean, like, he probably just, it just wasn't happening between you two as far as he was concerned. So he, you know, he took this as an opportunity to get out. But you know,
but he's never even in.
I just can't believe you have trouble finding a man.
Thank God, Noam is not a therapist, huh? It's like, oh,
I know, right?
I was my one shot at free dinner, and I blew it.
I think when people keep canceling, it's that they're scared. They're anxious too. Guys get anxious. Like, I think you think of guys as like, you know, these terrible species, but I hear the stories and guys are nervous. Like, guys are scared. They have issues themselves, you know? So they are expected to be like this, you know, these superheroes, and a lot of them have their own shit, you know?
I don't think I'd be scared to date Kate though.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, I don't know what kind of guys you go out with. But,
just get her drunk and stick your dick in her mouth.
Damn. Sarah, do you ever tell couple?
I would ask first.
Thank you.
About dinner or the dick? Which one? So, Sarah, do you ever like have a couple and tell them you should stop having sex for a while? Has that ever happened?
I do tell them sometimes to stop having penetrative sex, actually, because one of the other big problems that we see and I treat is
no foreplay.
Well, you're related sexual pain. Sexual pain on women, and people always think, oh, it's older women, it's menopausal women that have pain. No.
It's women with black eyes.
We have so many young women, I gotta tell you, who have
Tom's like, my wife's never complained.
Never. But well, honey, you're hurting me is not something I've ever heard.
I'm telling you, a lot of people don't talk to their partners about it, and they suffer in silence, and they're not happy. So to your point, you know, I don't like to use the word foreplay, because I think that's gendered, actually. Because
why is that gendered?
I'm glad you asked, because it infers that the real play is the penetrative piece. And actually everything that comes before is just like, you know, it's pretend play.
But why is that gendered?
Because a girl needs to like use other things to get off.
And actually that most women, I mean, we think 30% is, you know.
Because men have four fingers and women have five.
we say that, you know, the research shows that like only 25% of women can orgasm with penetrative sex alone without any clitoral stimulation. So if you think about it, all that stuff that goes on outside the body, that's sex for women. That's why we call it outer course.
Wow.
Outer course.
Just blow your mind.
I never heard outer course in my life.
Outer course, lady.
How much do I owe you?
I'll send you my bill.
Every time I speak with you, I just realize I've been doing everything wrong.
Do some experimentation tonight, actually, and say, let's do everything but penetrative sex.
What, why would I do that? I'm kidding.
I have another term that I want to bring to your attention.
Wait, next time, so I'll say next time she's coming on, I think we should have my wife on with me.
Oh, well, that'd be interesting.
Well, I thought of
you
having
have to pay for that, Noam, I think.
What I have, what I didn't hear what you said. What's that?
Then you have to pay for that, I think.
I think it'd be interesting to hear my wife's point of view on.
I think
on
you
this
should
stuff.
Have your wife and your girlfriend on next time with Sari.
Well, shut up, Esther.
So, Sari, you said you have another term that you like.
Yeah, no, sorry, go ahead. Sorry,
I forgot what I was going to say, but the term I was actually going to talk about is the orgasm gap,
like the missile gap,
which is that, you know, like 58% of women, when researched, have said at one point or another, you know, they don't orgasm as much as men. Whereas 80% of men said, yeah, the last few times, you know, of course I orgasmed. And so there's a big orgasm.
I have a favor. When you do those researches, can I be like in this team that, you know, ask women about orgasm and like, or like who does, like, you have a team that does that?
So I'm not a researcher,
yeah,
but we have sexuality researchers all over the country, all over the world, to be honest. And they research everything.
But then I think we spoke about this, you and I, last time, but I've heard this somewhere and I know that it's true. The flip side of that is a lot of women complain that when men are, you know, incessantly focusing on the woman's orgasm, that also is awkward. And
yes.
Yeah. So women get this.
But wouldn't it be nice if they said, how can I be of service to you? What would you like tonight? Yeah.
I think honestly.
Were those grunts, guys? Were those like two grunts?
No, I think that to empower women, you're probably going to agree with this. It's best if women learn how to not be shy and make it known what they like in a, because that's very hot even for the guy to see. It's a little awkward. Let's say, what would you like, you know? Go ahead, Esther. I'm sorry.
I just masturbate after sex, so they know, like, hey, you didn't do your job.
Yeah,
that's the most common time for women to masturbate, I think, is after sex. I think I'm
yeah. I think it, like, to Norm's point, yeah, it's good if women know what they want, but it's not good if they know exactly what they want. It's like I don't want to say, like, you come in 90 degrees from the left. The lighting should be like, that's kind of weird. It'll be,
yeah, when they know exactly what they want, I'm like, why don't you just go back to that fucking guy then? Clearly, you know exactly what you want.
So the term I've coined is called sex esteem, and it's bringing in all that kind of confidence,
yeah,
for whatever gender you're is and however you identify, to have the self-knowledge and the confidence to be able to tell your partner what you want and ask them what they want and talk about it without shame. Like, there's so much shame, yeah, around it.
Oh my God. I watched, so Pornhub got into trouble with like underage something, and they had a whole panel in Canada, like with their Congress or whatever. And I watched it because I wanted to see Canadians talk about porn, and it lived up to all of my expectations. What repressed societies we live in. Like, they could not handle saying things. At one point, a guy said, there's a robust argument if I can use that language. Like, everything got turned into an innuendo.
Oh, that's
Canadians are known to be pretty polite. So, I'm Canadian myself, so I can attest to it.
I'm saying it's from America too, but like, holy moly.
In the meantime, in Egypt, I think it was Egypt, they actually put a belly dancer in jail like 6 months ago, right?
No, you keep saying that. Yeah, they did, but not for the reason that you're trying to make it look like.
What was the reason?
She broke the law.
Gaining weight. Oh.
No, she broke the law. And I said that before. She worked in a place where she was not supposed to. It's kind of like when you go to a strip club in New York, you can't take your top off. You know, it's just the law. But you can go other states, you can take the top off, you know. Yeah. So she went to a place, performed belly dance with a suit that's not have a license for that, you know, full body suit. So that's why she was arrested. But
what was she wearing?
So there's two-piece belly dancing suit, yeah, and there's one-piece belly dancing suit. So in that state that she was in, it was only allowed the one-piece belly dance suit, and she wore two, you know.
It's here, like, it is. Egyptian belly dancer given 3 years jail term for inciting debauchery.
Yeah.
He was accused of posting suggestive images that violated family values. You can read the high profile first of all, Egyptian belly dancer. Yeah.
She's not.
She did a TikTok video that was sexually suggestive.
What's the
3 years in prison?
What's the resource here? Israeli news?
The Guardian.
Amazing. You know, I'm doing a series, actually, a countdown on my Instagram at Sari Cooper Sex Esteem, and I'm doing a countdown to today. And each day I'm interviewing different people to help people establish and grow their sex esteem. And so one of the things I people I interviewed was a belly dancer.
Oh, I know all the belly dancers in New York.
I don't know. Serena? She's a amazing. Singer
as well, right? She sings what? As well. She sings as well.
She sings, yeah. You know Serena? Mm-hmm. So she gave me a belly dancing class.
So go ahead, tell us her personal secrets. Go ahead.
No, I don't know it like that. I don't know her that well. So Sarah, let me ask you this. We talk about porn. How is it like bad education? Why we don't have good porn education, like educational porn, you know, and why I'm not starring in that one?
Well, I don't know if porn, it's kind of an oxymoron. I think the better question is, why don't we have better sexuality education? And
but I mean, not porn in terms of video, you know, I don't know what you call it then, you know?
Well, I think we come from America's a Puritan country, and people have enough trouble, like, you know, talking about porn, but they're also having trouble talking about pleasure. I mean, so many sex education that kids get, they don't even talk about pleasure, self-pleasure, or masturbation. And it is like the safest sex if you think about it, and it gives you a lot of pleasure, but they won't tell kids that.
Then why do I feel so sad afterwards?
You know, in the Middle East and in the Arabic world, they call masturbation, they call this the secret habit. So it gives you think like you're doing something so wrong, you know? I mean, I personally love secrets, so I was fine with it. But, you know, but people growing up there, secret, like it's like you're doing something wrong. You can't do that.
So we work with a lot of people from other countries and other cultures, Hatem, and actually this recent research that has come up recently is that people who self-describe as porn addicts are people actually who have a lot of religiosity, which means they have belief in God. They were brought up in maybe a very strict faith. So they kind of grew up feeling ashamed of having, you know, of masturbating.
Guilt makes your orgasms harder.
We want
even harder. You mean like more intense or more difficult to have?
More pleasurable, you know, easier to achieve, I think.
But that's right. That's eroticism.
Esther's a naughty girl.
Well, I grew up evangelical Christian and my parents were missionaries. So sex was like, no, you can't have sex till you're married. And I was like, well, then I never want to get married, but I'll just have it outside of marriage, you know?
I grew up a German atheist. So then when I fuck all of my Jews and like black boyfriends, I just say it's atonement and like, you know, civil rights.
Until they find your Nazi.
I find that.
What about gypsies? Do you have sex with gypsies?
Me?
Yeah. The Germans killed the gypsies too, you know?
Yeah, but the gypsies, like I've seen their camps and I don't really like love like their
lifestyle. Oh, God.
It's a lifestyle thing for you, is it?
So, Sarah, do you expecting like, things to get worse or better sex-wise for couples? Like the lockdown looks like it's not going anywhere soon, you know? So what's going to happen? Are people going to just be like, whatever, just going to go and have sex and fuck it, or like, what do you think?
I think they are. I think they, you know, people have skin hunger. You know, they have isolation. They want some sort of comfort. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
Skin hunger. I like that term.
You haven't heard of skin hunger?
No, but I'm going to use it.
Or outer sex.
But Kate, that is totally like,
no, skin
house, because you're tactile, like that's one of your erotic triggers.
I know, tell me about it, which is why I'm freaking out all the time on these fucking losers who blow me off for the
skin
one
hunger. Skin hunger,
you're
like
a female comedian, you're supposed to date losers.
I know, maybe I'm just aiming too high.
So
Kate, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sorry. Sorry.
So I was going to say, like, I think that people are lonely. That's, you know, rates of loneliness have gone up really.
Do you think that the smell of desperation is palpable through an iPhone? Because I'm pretty sure that's the pheromone I'm giving off.
Yeah.
So Kayla, this minimalist Zoom background that you have there, is that a strategic choice?
Is that
a beer label on the wall
nice
behind you?
I have a fireplace. Wait,
why wasn't that your background?
What? No, look, I have this nice fireplace here, just so you know. I have romance in my life. Just for Zoom, it's nicer to have a white background, and it's more comfortable to sit where I'm sitting.
You're saying white is better?
What?
That looks like an apartment I used to have on Mineta Street. That's not Mineta Street, is it?
No, it's Cornelia. I'll just tell everyone, if you like see this, hang out, I'll probably fuck you.
Terry, what about when things go back to normal, the couples that, you know, were together stuck like that for a long time? Now, how are they gonna?
It's a good question, because I think sometimes people, like at the beginning of COVID, they were dating, but because of COVID, they decided to shack up, if you will. I think half of them will make it and half of them won't.
You know, something, Naomi, you said very interesting. Last, it has nothing to do with sex, but, you know, but I thought about it. I think I want to do an episode about it. It's like when you were putting your son to bed, and he said, like, since the quarantine, you know, they're so attached to you. And so, like, families are so, you know, what's going to happen? And you said, I don't know what's going to happen when things go back to normal. And I think it's the same thing with relationships and stuff like that, right? Like,
they're like, you mean you've gotten used to being together all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually think the sex might go back up for couples that do stay together, because I think there's something about creating space and distance and having your own life. Mm-hmm. You bring back more energy and innovation and just, I don't know, energy to your partner. I mean, you want to be able to talk about something, you know, that your partner doesn't know already.
Do you think that, has there been like a high percentage of, like, would you say more people have broken up during this time, or have gotten stronger in their relationship?
I really do. You know, they haven't done that research. It's interesting. But I think it's going to be a 50-50 thing, because I think for some people, if they've been dating for like a year or so, and then they decided to live together because they don't want to be alone during COVID, they learn how to be a couple. Like, they become a couple. But for others who, like, it doesn't organically flow, or they don't have great communication skills, or they go, you know, I love you, but I don't think this is like long-term relationship.
Terry, so what is love?
I had a couple break up, actually.
What is love? What's the reason? What is love? Is there research on that? Is it real? What is it?
It's an emotional state. It's different for everybody.
When a couple breaks up, do you get paid twice?
Oh, I wish.
Do you ever tell a couple, like, in therapy session, you shouldn't be together?
It's a great question. I've been asked that before. I don't, unless the couple, there's domestic violence. That's the only sort of exception to the rule. But I've had couples break up in a session.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Is that awkward?
Pardon?
Is that ever awkward for you?
I, the word wouldn't be awkward. It was emotionally a lot, yeah. You know, because some of these breakups were like rageful.
Ah.
I don't know if you've watched Indian Matchmaking, but like, do you ever give advice based on astrological signs of the couples?
I don't, and that's on my watch list, actually. I want to watch it. But I do say to people, like, love, I do, and I do believe this, I think love is important, but love doesn't carry the day. Like, it's just because you love someone doesn't mean you're a good couple long term.
So do you think for people that's starting a relationship, is it more important to be attracted sexually to the person than loving them? Or so which one is more important in the beginning, especially love or sex, to be attracted that sexually?
A tough question. I think you've got to have some chemistry there to make it long-term if you want to be in a sexually sexual relationship. Not everyone does, but that has to be there. And unless you're asexual, I should put that in there too. But I also think there has to be respect and humor, and because, you know, life can be hard. We're in a pandemic. Like, if you can't laugh, like, that's tough. And love is part of it. It's like you build on love. Love isn't just like this flatline thing. It's there or not. You kind of build on it. I mean, Noam, how long have you been married?
Forever.
No, I've been counting.
My wife and I have been together going on 30 years now. We haven't been married for 30 years, but we've been a couple for almost 30 years.
Right. So love changes, right? Don't you go through waves?
Oh, yes.
And I also think you go through waves where you don't like your partner very much. Like, people don't talk about that because it's not romantic, but
I think she's in that wave now. Yeah. She has all the signs of being in that wave. By the way, do you know anything about Doc? Did you ever meet Dr. Ruth? Is she like the you know, the grand matriarch of sex therapists?
Yeah, she is. And although she worked for a pioneer sex therapist named Helen Singer Kaplan, and the story goes that the way Ruth got her start was some TV channel called Helen Singer Kaplan's clinic and asked for one of the therapists to go on the radio for an interview. And Helen was too busy. She was someone who was a prolific writer, wasn't interested in the press. And Ruth goes, "I'll do it." And that's the history follows.
Go ahead, sorry. So
one of the things about Ruth, and I asked her that once when the last time I saw her was, what do you think about non-monogamy? And she's like, "I don't talk about that. I talk about people who are married."
I can't remember what it was. I wish I did, but somebody we all know was had a question whether they should show up for something. And I said, you know, there's stories all the time where somebody doesn't show up for something, they're lazy, and the understudy, as it were, takes over, and that's it. You never look back. And here's another one, Dr. Ruth, right? It's all about Eve, right? Was that the movie where the understudy takes over?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
Dr. Ruth takes over, and then a whole career was launched. So let that be a lesson, Esther. Show up.
But yeah, got it. But Dr. Ruth is also like, there's a book about her. And I think there was a documentary that was featured at Sundance a couple of years ago, right before COVID actually. She's having a crazy life. You know, she was sent away as a kinder transport kid in the Second World War. And then she had to sort of make a life for herself. And she went to the Sorbonne, and then she ended up in Israel and like fought for independence. I mean, she's had all these different
but the
lines.
Country's
she's
independence, like, not sexual independence, right? and who were they fighting, by the way?
Men?
The British.
No, they were fighting the Arabs. Anyway, is she still doing appearances and stuff?
I think so, yeah.
We should get her on with Sari. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I've talked to her about, I wanted to do like a master series. I have a wonderful interview with Betty Dodson. I don't know, she was sort of the queen of self-pleasure. She taught thousands of women how to get themselves orgasms.
Is she the one who was like the first one to like ask women to fill out like a questionnaire kind of thing and then compiled them all?
No, that was me.
What?
That was me.
No, I think she really was part of the women's movement, and she actually would have nude body sex workshops that which are still going on.
That's
and
what I can do. She to had make a money vibrator. Right now.
There you go. I tune in.
Yeah.
All right. There,
God really let women down. I mean, isn't it weird that? I mean, does any other species have this issue where they like every other species seems to be born with all the instincts they need to do it exactly what they need to do, right? But humans, there's this big deficiency where women have to be taught this stuff. Men seem to figure it out on their own also.
You know who taught me how to masturbate? Tim Allen. I mean, from his TV show, not him.
How so?
Because on the show, he gave his wife a jacuzzi. And she said, "The jet streams are so strong, I don't even need my husband." And I was 17. And I was like, "Well, I don't have a jacuzzi, but I have a bathtub." And then I laid down in the bathtub, and the rest is history.
No, keep going. Keep going.
It's a great topic because women are acculturated not to be know their anatomy, and no one has asked me about my necklace. And I
is it testicles?
Oh, okay, yeah, the necklace. I can't. Oh, there
it's breasts, testicles. Looks I can't like tell.
What is
ovaries?
It?
Fallopian tube.
Lungs. Double penetrating something. What is it?
Oh my God! What is it? What is it?
It's a clitoris.
Oh, what?
How would I know what that looks like?
Rest my case.
Oh, you guys want to see mine?
That's what it looks like. It's a good one because we wish that you would know about this.
That's amazing.
Well, well, so everyone thinks that the clitoris is just like one little nib, but it actually, it has a whole architecture, and these are called legs or crura, and they go on the outside of your vulva, and then they actually go inside and continue inside your vagina.
Oh my God, I missed that episode of QVC.
I mean, you would think... You would think with all the technology, they can do like a something that can highlight it with like laser lights or something, like, right? Like you should be able to do that, but we don't have anything like that. That shows
I think it's easy to find. Yeah.
Can you send me the link how to buy that? And I want to get it from my mother-in-law, and she won't have any idea what it is. And she'll walk around with it, and I'll just tell everybody else what she has, what she's wearing.
I was gonna say you can buy it for your wife.
Okay. No. Is it a? No.
You're beautiful.
It's like a reminder for you, Noam.
and Noam, you can always. It's like, look, I can find it. It's right here.
That's a pretty cool necklace.
Yeah. So let's end with this, Sari. What do you have advice for couples or singles in Valentine's Day? Both. And then we'll go around and see if anybody want to say anything about V-Days.
You know what? Make your V-Day just about enjoyment. Don't put pressure on yourself or your partner to make it some sort of like, you know, setting the bar high. It's actually the first V-Day in quarantine. So just be imaginative, talk to your partner. If you're by yourself, create a wellness day for yourself. Make it about pleasure. Use some toys if you would like, use your hands if you'd like, but don't put too much pressure on it.
Clitoris or your boyfriend?
Kate, any big plans or today? Happy hunting, maybe?
No, I mean, it's the first time without football, you know.
I know.
Look forward to. So just my yearly day of mourning.
But I can't believe, like, I don't see you having problems if you go to a bar of having guys all over.
Because it's not real bars yet. Like, we just got to go back inside. And then when you're outside, you have to sit with the people, you have to dance with the people you came with. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I can just, like, it's not like last year. Well, yeah, I go to a bar and like
just sit outside Sari's office, and when somebody breaks up, you sit right in.
Come with me.
Esther.
I think for women, it's good to have high standards. So whatever he gets you, throw it against a wall and demand better.
And for men?
I mean, men is not my. I don't really care about men,
okay,
or their well-being or their self-esteem.
Damn. Damn. Big plans tonight or no? Or it's just a regular Valentine's Day? Is it any special quarantine? But I don't want to mean to rub it in Kate's face, but it's just like, let's talk about what you're going to do today, Esther.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but
it's just
maybe some mutual masturbation.
Yeah, you should try that.
You know, because it's like, I don't know where you've been. You cover your mouth, cover your genitals, right? Did Sanjay Gupta say you can get it from a dick? COVID?
They're not sure yet.
Okay.
No, I wish we have like something like, you know, when they have like a big yoga class in Central Park when like thousands of people do yoga together. I think we should all masturbate at the same time. Tonight, 7 p.m., everybody. Let's do it. Noam, any plans?
We should do it for the essential workers, you know. I don't have any plans. No, I don't.
Just
so I'm half kidding, and we always get in a fight on Valentine's Day. It's always something I do wrong. So.
Ah, that's great. That happy note.
What are you doing, Hatem?
Me?
Yeah.
The choices are unlimited. I don't know who's going to be the lucky one, but I know there will be one. I don't know. I have a choice between right and left. So I'm probably going to go with left. I'm not, I don't know. I don't know. So Sari, people want to see you or follow you or watch a show. You want to share your information?
On Instagram, I'm Sari Cooper Sex Esteem, and Facebook, I'm Sari, I think I'm Center for Love and Sex. And then on Twitter, I'm Sari Cooper CLS. But my site is Center for Love and Sex, and it's a group practice. And if you know anyone who needs some help, we're here to help you. Otherwise, yeah, sex esteem events. I'm going to do some sex.
And you do therapy right now. People can come and visit. I mean, do it in Zoom, right?
We're doing Zoom. Yeah. Zoom sessions. And I'm probably going to do some sex esteem events this year.
Okay. And if you have any guy that come visit you alone and says like, oh, this bitch texts me at 11:30 drunk.
Hey, before I go, Sarah, do you have any words of wisdom about poor Jeffrey Toobin?
About what?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Toobin, the guy that
got caught masturbating in a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
Oh man. I think that he probably had been doing it for a long time and that was his thing.
I mean, a lot of us.
That's actually a paraphilia, you know, that you're doing something that's non-consensual, that people don't know about, and that's your erotic trigger. And it's.
Wait, you can't masturbate in the middle of a show without anybody seeing you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Some people are cursed. I mean, you know, it's been said, and it's controversial, but I think it's true that, you know, pedophiles are cursed, right? They're cursed because this is not something they chose. People all along the spectrum are victims of whatever it is that turns them on, you know, and the thing is that the urge will always win. I believe
it
always.
It doesn't actually know them. And I do agree that they are cursed because they don't have a lot of resources for mental health, but not everyone who's a pedophile acts out on their fantasies. And the research shows that, and there are people who
some pedophiles sit at home eating their own candy supply.
I actually think that, I can't say every single pedophile would, but I believe that, given opportunity, 95% of pedophiles would succumb at least once or twice to that temptation before they, snapped out of it.
No, I think, you know, you can't talk about that because it's a whole body of work of people that who don't, you know, it's hard to study them. Yeah. But there is a site called Virtuous Pedophiles, actually. And when people put it up there, it was just for people to get support. They thought maybe there'd be a handful of people who would go on it to get resources and referrals. And now tens of thousands of people are on that site.
and also they can get some helpful. They can get some helpful information if they watch the show Catch a Predator, you know? So
I think 95 is pretty high. I'd like to think the weirdos who lived in my basement when I was growing up wanted to fuck me, but just didn't act on the urge. But that's just what I tell myself at night.
Virtuous means what? Virtuous what?
This site is for people who don't enact the fantasies they have, but they are tortured by them.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a great point that Mo said, because, you know, why we're not studying something like that, which is very important.
There are people studying that. And
I'm studying it. It's every guy who hits on Asian girls, really.
Why is that?
Because they look like little girls.
Huh? I'll text you, Hatem. Boys.
Oh my God. Anyway, it's sad. All right, I gotta go.
Kate, would you like to share your information and know where people want to find you and if they want to date you, where they can?
Yeah, I'm Amelia. I'm at Scotch the Cat on Instagram. I'll check my DMs. I'll refresh them all day.
Like a style that you like in a guy? So you don't have like anybody?
I'm a, what's it called? A sapiosap? What it is when you're attracted
to a homo sapien?
Yeah, homo sapiens alive. And when you're attracted to like intelligence.
Yeah.
Instead
okay.
Of, like, look.
And really, really, when you date Kate, it's really easy. Just turn your phone off after 10 p.m.
whose dog is that?
Sorry, I gotta let the dog out.
No, I don't care. I'm just curious.
Esther, you want to share information?
Yes, you can follow me online at Esther Cuckoo. If you are in Florida, come to my outdoor show every Wednesday at Smart Bites at 8:30 p.m.
Where in Florida?
In Miami.
Oh my God! Nope. Seriously?
Yes.
Norm, is the Olive Tree Comedy Cellar going to be open in Valentine's 25, or is it not?
Yeah, we're trying to open the Olive Tree next week, but this is, 25%, I guess, whatever. Hopefully they'll give us more.
But it's still 11. Now it's still 11 p.m. and they say it might be maybe 50%.
Yeah, if it's 50%, that's...
But can you do shows yet?
Not legally, no.
Dude, this New York pops up thing pissed me off.
Yeah. There's a lot of fucked up shit going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on this happy note, have a great Valentine's Day and check out Sari Cooper's website if you need advice. If you need pervert advice, check Esther Cool or Kate.
Is that why you invited us on?
No.
Okay, bye everybody. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.